A content warning for today's listeners. We are going to be discussing intimate partner violence. If you or someone you know is feeling unsafe because of how your partner or someone else in your life is treating you and your pets, you are not alone. Here in Nova Scotia, the SPCA can help. Email PAWS, P-A-W-S, support, S-U-P-P-O-R-T, at spcans.ca. If you're listening from out of province, please contact your local shelter. November 25th kicks off 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. It is on the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women and runs until the 10th of December, Human Rights Day. But what does this have to do with animals? Well, on today's podcast, you're going to learn more. Is Sue O'Neill. She is the manager of Promising Practices at Humane Canada. Sue has a background working in gender-based violence services in both shelter and community-based settings. Her work in these settings resulted in supporting the development of an agency-based safe pet program. Her additional professional experience has been in various roles in the areas of mental health, employment, and education. Sue holds an Honors Bachelor of Child Development and a Master's of Education from Western University. Currently, she is a Master's Women and Gender Studies candidate at St. Mary's University and the proud guardian to a cat named Mew. Welcome to the podcast, Sue.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're so happy that you're here, and we have a tough topic to talk about today. So absolutely. I want to start with a game that we play with all of our guests, so we can learn a little bit more about you. Awesome. So are you ready to play a game of fetch?
Yes, and I won't lie, my team and I listened to a bunch of your podcast episodes, so I came prepared for this.
I love it. Well, let's go then. Who was your first pet?
My first pet was a Havanese dog named Spunky.
Okay. And if animals could talk, who would be the nicest?
So my team, Claire and Garrett, helped me decide, and actually they decided beluga whales would be the nicest.
Oh, wow. I think that's a first.
We spent a week talking about this in depth.
Okay, well then, I'm interested to know if animals could talk, who would be the meanest?
Again, this was another strong debate amongst the team, but Claire came up with the best answer. A T-Rex.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'd like to talk about that more later as a dinosaur person. But Sue, in your work helping with intimate partner violence, you are a hero to many. Who is Sue's hero?
So my hero is my grandmother, who passed away because she was somebody who was just so kind and generous to everyone around her, especially animals.
That's lovely. Well, thank you, Sue, for playing a game of fetch and for the team who helped Sue out this past week. So, Sue, your bio indicates that you started your career in the gender-based violence sector. What brought you to focusing on that work, but with Humane Canada?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. I want to label first, I come to this work as a survivor. And when I fled a violent relationship, my dog Lily saved my life time and time again and kept me from going back to that relationship. And so I ended up working in gender-based violence services and hearing time and time again that survivors were not leaving because they couldn't bring their animals with them, or they were returning home because they were concerned about their animals. And so when I was working in shelter, we created a program and we noticed that we were able to keep a lot more people safe, and we were hearing from survivors, I wouldn't have left if this program didn't exist. And so I never thought I'd work in animal welfare, although I'm a passionate animal advocate myself. And then this job came up at Humane Canada for the ACT project, which focused around how can we support animal services and human services in better supporting survivors with animals. And so I'm really excited to chat about that project with you. And then our most recent project came up of Promising Practices, which is how do we engage men and boys as allies through community-based humane education programming in preventing gender-based violence.
And so we know in Nova Scotia that according to the status of women, 79% of victims of domestic or intimate partner violence in Canada are women. You know, we have the highest rate, I believe our province does, of intimate partner violence. And so how does that play into now, especially that you're living in this province, how does that play into your work?
Absolutely. So I have to say I'm new to Nova Scotia, but I've fallen in love here. It's a beautiful province and I feel so grateful to be here. But there's also a lot of work happening to either prevent or intervene when it comes to gender-based violence. And I want to shout out Nova Scotia SPCA. You folks are doing some really innovative work to support people with their pets and keeping families together. As well as I happen to be on the board for Bryony House, and Bryony House is doing some great work around supporting survivors. So there's lots of great work happening in Nova Scotia. And so we've been really lucky where we've had this project, the Promising Practices Project, come up. And this is where, again, I'm shouting out Nova Scotia SPCA. You folks have joined us not only as a steering committee member to help steer the work, but as a focus group member where we're actually going to be implementing with you folks in Nova Scotia. And because there's so many passionate folks in Nova Scotia about ending gender-based violence, we actually, our steering committee is filled with folks from Nova Scotia in a way we've never seen before. So we have the Transitional Houses Association of Nova Scotia on the steering committee, Bridges Institute, St. Mary's University. I feel like I've probably forgotten someone, and so I'm so sorry. But we're so grateful that folks in Nova Scotia are joining us in this work to end gender-based violence.
That is lovely to hear. I'm glad. So great shout out to everybody who's working on that. And we are pleased at the Nova Scotia SPCA to do that. So you were involved in the development of ACT, Awareness Yes. Collaboration Tools, a project aimed at addressing systematic barriers for individuals and animals fleeing gender-based violence. I know when I tell people about our program that does help with people fleeing gender-based violence, it's not something I always see the look in their face, because it's first of all an emotional reaction. You know, we don't normally talk about pets and the connection with animals. And so I know I want you to tell everybody about it, because I think people need to know. So can you tell us more about this program?
Absolutely. So I want to do a couple shout outs here. So this work was not done alone. We had 41 partners on the ACT project. So ranging from across the country. Not only that, we had the foundational research from Dr. Kendra Coulter, Dr. Amy Fitzgerald, and Dr. Rochelle Stevenson that led this work. Jasmine Ferreira, a PhD candidate from York University, helped to build the foundation of our ACT to Keep Families Safe model. And Claire Delude and Andrea Andrade were coordinators on this project as well and helped to develop the project. So work was not done alone. I always like to label that. And so it comes to this piece, and I hope this does a good job of answering your question. But for so many people, pets are family. The research is showing that oftentimes we consider pets like children, important family members. And the idea of leaving pets behind when you're fleeing violence is an impossible choice. Not only that, we know that pets are often experiencing violence at the same time as humans are experiencing violence. And we know that through the research of the violence link. And so we know that also pets are being used as a tool of coercive control to harm, to intimidate, to threaten the survivor into staying or returning or delaying leaving. And so we need to have programs that support survivors with their pets to be able to flee safely together, for survivors to flee. Because unfortunately, when survivors don't leave, that's when the they may be subjected to escalating violence. And even when survivors do leave, the first 3 months after leaving a violent relationship are the most dangerous. And so if a survivor were to leave without their animal and then to go back for their animal or go back to care for their animal, they could be subjected to even more harm in addition to the animal experiencing harm.
So you brought up the coercive control legislation. And this historic amendment was passed by committee in the federal sense on March 18th. And it highlights the connection between human and animal violence, but also provides crucial protections for both. So Humane Canada successfully championed the inclusion of animals in this. So can you talk about how this protects both animal and human?
Absolutely. But I will say I'm not going to do it justice because I was not part of that incredible work. I want to give a huge shout out to Barb Cartwright, our CEO, and Carrie Thompson, our Manager of Justice and Legislative Affairs. What was really important from my perspective, and again, I was not the one on the front lines doing this work, but the fact that animals were included and recognized, because that recognition alone opens the doors in so many ways for protecting people and their pets. And that was the big piece there, was that animals were recognized as that method so that folks are aware, folks can do safety planning around having pets. And this can actually be addressed legally. So I hope that was a decent answer, but I'm not those experts in that space.
Well, no, I think you're hitting on a really important topic. And I feel like I keep going back to it because I know from my time working at the Nova Scotia SPCA that it isn't something that people think about is how, right. You know, we do talk about how people can control a partner with finances, you right. know, but when we, and their children. We see that, but like you said, I mean, our pets are our family. And I know that our listeners, you know, believe that when they're adopting and believe that every day. And I really appreciate the work that you are doing, this advocacy that is outside what people think is the normal work of the animal social impact sector, right?
Right.
And well, what has been the reception? Like, do you get the same thing that I do where it's like, I've never thought of that before?
Absolutely. I will say, as soon as we start talking about the ACT project, it's like a light bulb moment for a lot of folks, whether it be in animal services or gender-based violence services of, oh yeah, I wouldn't leave without my animal, so this makes sense. And then the other side where we get that light bulb moment is when we talk about using humane education as a way of bringing together allies amongst boys and men to end gender-based violence. Often folks are like, oh my gosh, that's another light bulb moment, because humane education is so receptive to sort of those really healthy values and the ideas that we hold around healthy relationships with other beings. And so when we talk about that too, that's when a light bulb goes off of folks being like, oh wait, humane education is a great idea to use for that purpose.
We know that many women's shelters and other emergency services in Nova Scotia do not allow pets as part of their intake. Is there something you'd like our audience to know about why keeping pets and people together in this situation is so critical?
So it's critical for so many reasons. One, it's life-saving. It means that folks will actually flee violence and get to safety. But it's also, I will say, even when there's programs that exist, like Nova Scotia SPCA's incredible program, it can be really traumatic to flee everything in your life, have to go into a shelter, and then be separated from your pet, even if you know that they're safe and well taken care of. But I also want to label, it can be really hard for gender-based violence shelters to become pet-friendly because they're not funded for that. And so this is my big plug of gender-based violence shelters should be funded to be pet-friendly because that will help keep pets and people together. And I will say there will still be a need for programs like Nova Scotia SPCA's program because there are going to be some pets that just wouldn't do well in a shelter environment and need sort of that different sort of support. But without shelters being pet friendly, we're overloading our animal services folks by accessing these programs. So it's kind of one of these where we need everyone to work together to create a community-based solution.
And I think you're touching on, you know, it's the funding as well. So I, yes. In my conversations, when I get phone calls from shelters, you know, that say, well, we can put everybody up, but there, you know, there's a pet fee at, you know, the hotel where we are able to secure a location, and we're not funded to pay the pet fee. And, you know, we're not funded in our pause and support program.
Right.
And so there's a huge gap here in like the advocacy. And we're saying like, hey, this is happening. The shelters who are doing a great job to help women leave, but then if you're not going to take the animal and they go back, you know, for the sake of the funding, the education, it does like blow my mind. And I just want to reconfirm, in case it wasn't clear, that our pause and support program, if you are fleeing intimate partner violence, it is us fostering your animal while you get safe. Your animal isn't being surrendered and put up for adoption at the Nova Scotia SPCA. We are going to foster your animal because we want you and your animal to be safe. So please reach out. I can't stress that enough. I love our pause and support program. We're in the provincial office, and so in an administrative office, we're not in the shelter, but sometimes those, like a cat is fostered here with us and has 13 fosters at a time, right? So your animal will be well taken care of while you seek this shelter and safety that you need. So
I love that.
We are leading into the 16 days of activism to end gender-based violence. What are you hoping to highlight this year with your work with the ACT program?
So actually what we're hoping to highlight this year is from our promising practices side of things, because we really want to invite male identifying folks to the conversation and to the work. Right now, a lot of this work, whether it's sheltering people and pets together, whether it's fostering animals so that survivors can flee safely, whether it's educating and raising awareness, a lot of this work is done by female identifying and gender diverse survivors or people who've been touched by gender-based violence. And we really want to call to action male identifying folks in the community to become allies and to join us in this work in order to prevent violence, in order to create a violence-free future for everyone, both human and animal.
And what tools do you have for that activism?
I'm so excited because we are beginning to, we will be launching, and I mean, this is coming spring 2025, but you can already pre-register, the Promising Practices Online Learning Center, which is for educators, community members, basically everyone to come in and learn about how can you be an ally through the Promising Practices framework. And the Promising Practices framework is designed as a humane education framework that weaves in gender-based violence education to prevent violence. So what I would love everyone to do is pre-register for that. And then, you know, talk to the folks already doing this work and see how you can support, whether that's reaching out to the Nova Scotia SPCA to see what they need for their program or reaching out to a gender-based violence shelter. That's my call to action to male identifying folks. So pre-register for our course, but also calling you to action to reach out to your community to see what you can do to contribute.
So you have been very complimentary to the Nova Scotia SPCA's programs, and I appreciate that because I know the hard work that our shelters team, our programs team, that everybody is doing. Have you examples of other programs across the country or even around the world that you've seen, just in case there is a shelter listening who says, oh, maybe we can do that?
I love that question. So we have the Act to Keep Families Safe online learning center. And so you can get to that learning center through Humane Canada's website. And on that learning center, we have 13 case studies of organizations that are doing this work in innovative ways across the country, whether that be as a gender-based violence organization, whether that be as an animal services organization. But not only that, we also have modules about how to do this. So we have quick 30-minute videos for you to watch if you're like, wait a second, how do I do this? And then on top of that, we also have pre-written templates of policies and procedures to help you get started in a really easy way. So if you're listening to this and you're like, what can I do? There's some tools and some solutions on the Act to Keep Families Safe online learning center.
And is there tools for, shelters, but also, I'm thinking that veterinarians might see something that we don't see.
Totally. So we have some, I like to say we have something for everyone, whether you be a veterinarian or a doctor or a teacher or a counselor or a neighbor, a friend, or a survivor. We have something for everyone. We have resources around like advocating for pet-friendly housing, because another big piece is when a survivor flees violence, where do they go next? And finding pet-friendly housing, finding housing that's affordable and safe and accessible is almost impossible. And when you add pet-friendly on top of that, it's an even bigger challenge. So we really have something for everyone there. We have like awareness resources that you can put into your offices that you can share with folks. So there's really something for everyone there.
So it sounds like you and the team at Humane Canada, that's an awful lot of work. Is Canada, would you say, a leader in this kind of advocacy, or is there another country that we are following or that we're working with?
Okay, so first, I forgot to shout out our funder. So our funder is Wage Women and Gender Equality Canada. So I want to say thank you because they're funding both the Act. They funded the Act project and they are funding the Promising Practices project.
Shout out Wage.
Big shout out to Wage. So in that sense, I do think we're really innovative because we do have that funding behind these projects. But I also want to shout out there's some really cool work happening in the States and some collaboration coming over to Canada, like My Dog Is My Home, Red Rover, all have been supporting the work of the ACT project and of the Promising Practices project. So shout out to those folks doing the work in the States, because we love that they're bringing a bigger audience to the work that we're doing. So there's definitely work happening there. I believe there's some work happening in Australia. But I will say, I think each work is so individualized and innovative in its own way, because even within Canada, like our communities are so different from our cities to our suburban to our rural, remote, northern, and farming communities. And how we support survivors in those communities is really different and looks really different.
So, what is the evaluation of these programs? How are we evaluating these programs?
So that's a great question. So with the ACT project, we really evaluated through peer feedback that folks would give us as we developed things. We had multiple community consultations with animal services, human services, Indigenous communities, remote and farming communities, as well as survivors, as well as the official language minority community. So that was really fantastic because all of that feedback got woven into the final results of the ACT project, which you can see in the Act to Keep Families Safe Online Learning Center. But we're doing something a little different with Promising Practices. So we have hired an external evaluator, Kate Beaujean, who previously worked for White Ribbon and now does this work of program evaluation. And Kate is actually doing an evaluation process with all of our focus groups, including Nova Scotia SPCA, to see the impact that the Promising Practices framework will have, and does it actually have impact on root causes of violence? So I can't share those details yet, but summer 2025, we should be releasing a report about what the evaluation actually says.
Excellent. Is there some presentations that you are doing upcoming that people can hear more past this podcast?
Absolutely. Okay. So I want to give a big shout out to Humane Canada's Summit for Animals 2025, which is being hosted in Montreal, which we are so excited for. So I can't officially say the Promising Practices Project will be speaking, but I have a funny feeling we will be amongst many other incredible speakers that are demonstrating promising practices. So please check out the Humane Canada Summit for Animals 2025. But like we will also, I will be doing a speaker series on November 25th at St. Mary's University to talk more in depth about this, as well as I'm presenting at the end of November at the International Summit to End Gender-Based Violence. About this. And so that was exciting too, that there's been a lot of recognition that we need to be thinking and including animals in these conversations and in these spaces.
On November 25th, which is the beginning of the 16 days, people are asked to wear purple. I'm wondering, you're going to do a presentation that day. Is your
I am.
16 days just full and do you have your purple ready?
Yes, so purple happens to be one of my favorite colors. So when I say I have a wardrobe of purple, I have 16 purple outfits intensely planned
Wow.
for those days. I'm very, very excited to go out and represent, especially as a survivor. I think wearing purple really, really matters, getting that visibility and community.
I love that. I love that you have those 16 outfits planned. I think we know that I would totally there with you. So is there anything that you would like our listeners to know about or to engage? We'll put the links for a lot of what you had said. We'll put them in the description so that people can have easy access to them. But is there anything else you'd like our audience to know?
My final thing I would just like to say is we do have a newsletter. That newsletter has resources, tools, and education, but it also shares the really innovative work that our partners are doing across the country. And we would love for folks to sign up because I promise you'll learn something new. I promise that it won't annoy you. It's only quarterly. And I promise that you'll probably find something in there that you want to share with somebody else. So please sign up for our newsletter. It's on our website on the ACT project page. So I will give you the link for that, Sarah.
Thank you. Sue, I want to thank you for all of the work that you are doing in this. We met last year at a conference, and I was in your
Yes.
presentation, and I just remember like the amount of notes I was taking, and just I was in awe of how you are so dedicated to this, and I really do appreciate that. But I do want to say thank you for sharing your story. Today, it really, it's there's going to be people out there who hear it and who need to hear it. So thank you for sharing your story and your time with us today.
Well, thank you for that. And big shout out to Claire DeLude and Garrett Grittner, my two research coordinators, who prepped me before today and made sure my answers were good.
Your answers were great. Thank you, Sue. The Nova Scotia SPCA, like many animal welfare organizations in the country, are actually about more than shelters. And we would love your support as we do programs like Pause and Support. Here are some of the ways that you can support us. You can like, share, and subscribe to this podcast. You can also make a donation to our Pause and Support program at novascotiaspca.ca.